Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back to another episode where we're going to continue our conversation about millennials.
Millennials.
The third episode right. on millennials. But in today, we're going to, it's kind of just progresses down mm-hmm. this line of conversation where we were talking about the sense of entitlement, then we were talking about false hope. And today, we're going to talk about sort of a consequence maybe of both of those.
Right.
And that is our children are not prepared. We're not preparing them because we're not holding them accountable. What do you think of that?
That's right.
You look like
right.
you were thinking deeply about that one.
Well, when you say we're not holding them accountable, you mean we're not turning things over to them.
I think that it's part that. I think it's also part, if a student, we talked about this a little bit last time, mm-hmm. if a student fails on a test or fails in a class, it's not the student's fault. We often see it as the teacher's fault.
Okay, we don't hold the student accountable for the result that they're
right.
What they're, okay,
so what happens with that is that the student doesn't learn the steps that he or she has to progress through to find success, and so they aren't prepared to handle struggles and challenges and conflict and confrontations and obstacles that come in their way as they get older and as they enter into adulthood. And so we get into situations where they don't know how to, you know, they get to college and they don't know how to wash their clothes.
That's
they
right.
You know, they don't know how to handle those things.
Right. It's an exceedingly important, this whole concept of accountability. I hadn't thought about that word, but you're right.
Mm-hmm.
What we want students to do is to develop the ability to handle their own problems.
Right.
But if they don't see their responsibility, if they don't mm-hmm. see their role in that,
right.
They're never going to get there. For example, and I think you give a good example, if a student doesn't do well, and the parents then say, well, the teacher did this, or the school right. is doing this, or the policy is wrong, or the policy is unfair.
Right.
And so the student, instead of getting the message that, okay, you fell short, what can we do? What can you do about it?
Right.
They're, instead of saying, what can you do to make this better?
Mm-hmm.
What the parents are saying, what can we do to fix it?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you don't want to fix it.
Right.
That's not the goal. The goal is for them, and this has to begin very, very early.
Right.
I mean, we did a talk the other day, and we talked about five-year-olds. One right. of the things that a five-year-old should do is a five-year-old should know that she cleans her own messes.
Right.
Okay. It's your response. You made the mess. It's your responsibility to clean it up.
Exactly.
So this notion of passing on the responsibility to the child begins at a very, very young age.
Right.
And it continues. You do poorly in a class. What are you going to do to fix that?
Right.
It's not my problem. It's not for me and the teacher to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
It's for you to fix it.
Right.
Because eventually they're going to get to a point when they're 18 or 20 or 22, they're going to have to fix their own problems.
Right.
But if they're always blaming everybody else mm-hmm. or the system, they're never going to, we're going to rob them of that opportunity to learn that they are responsible, they're accountable,
mm-hmm.
they have to do something.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so absolutely. And it's a challenge because parents want to save. They want to
sure.
save their kids, and that is very quite understandable.
It's instinctual, right.
However, we can help save them while giving them the responsibility
right.
to save themselves, or,
right.
or at least teach them the skills that they need to save themselves.
Right.
So you mentioned, we were talking about, you know, if a student is having a tough time in a class or something, and we need to address that issue, and mm-hmm. something needs to be done. So if the student then needs to, if we need to contact the teacher and find out, instead of the parent emailing the teacher,
that's right.
The student should email the teacher.
Go find out.
Now the parent can help review and edit the email. This parent can give this child an idea about what mm-hmm. to write in the email. The parent could even edit the email before the child sends it.
Right.
But the child needs to be the one to send it.
And another place,
especially if they're in middle school and high school.
Right. I mean, and another place where a parent can be extremely valuable without doing it for the child is, let's say the child does approach the teacher, mm-hmm. and the teacher says, I'm not going to bother with this. You're on your own. Okay, that's a place where a parent may want to go in and talk mm-hmm. to the teacher and say, hey, look, I'm trying to teach my child. You don't blame the teacher. You just say, look, I'm trying to teach my son to take responsibility for this.
Right.
So this is why I had him come to you.
Okay? Right.
That's a legitimate, but it's still, the boy still has to go and work it out with the teacher.
Right.
I'm not going to solve the problem as the parent. But I would like for you to give him the opportunity to solve it. Give him whatever work you want. Do whatever you want to do with him.
Exactly. And if the teacher says, nope, you know, look, I've been asked by a couple of other students too.
That's right.
This is the final, you know, just so mm-hmm. then we know, okay, so the lesson is, this is how we prevent this from happening next time.
That's right.
We don't go to the principal. We don't go to the dean mm-hmm. to argue and to...
Right.
You know, make the teacher change things.
Right.
The idea again is that to just be very blunt, if your kid didn't do what he needed to do,
right.
there should be a consequence. There should be a natural outcome to that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we can come up with all these things that we want to come up with on why they should be forgiven
mm-hmm.
for that.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that will work and sometimes that won't work.
Right. Well, one of the great stories that we read, I forget where it was, a girl, she was playing soccer,
mm-hmm.
Football as you call
right.
it. And she was playing high school soccer, and she was very upset because she wasn't getting enough playing time, or she wanted to play a position and some other girl was in front of her playing it. And she went to her dad and was complaining about the coach and whining and complaining and saying this and this and that. And I should be doing this. And he simply looked at her and said, work harder.
Yeah.
And walked away.
Which is a beautiful message.
You have to work harder.
That's it.
I can't
That's
do anything about
do.
It.
Right.
This is you and your coach and the other. Work harder.
Yep. So that's, and that's the message that we should be teaching mm-hmm. our kids.
That's right.
We should be teaching them that if you want to accomplish some of these things that you say
That's
you
right.
want to accomplish, mm-hmm. you got to work to accomplish those
That's right.
things.
If you want to play number two on your tennis team
right.
and you're now playing number four, you do whatever it takes to become better than the two players who were in front of you.
Right.
Nobody else can do that.
Right.
And that's the message we should be getting. You don't, as a parent, I'm not going to go talk to your coach
right.
to have your coach change anything.
Yeah.
It's your responsibility to get better than those two who are in front of you.
Right. Right. And that comes from work and effort. I've mentioned before that we teach in, you know, college and graduate programs and things. And I know that you have too, but I have situations where students, these are adult,
right.
experienced students in graduate school.
Graduate students.
Who will, you know, you work throughout the entire semester and you say, you know, you have this big paper that's due,
right.
you know, make sure that you get on top of it, make sure mm-hmm. you're working on it. Each class period, you say, anybody have any questions about right. what's the expectation, you know, what you got to do, and I can't tell you how many times, you know, a week before it's due, a student will say, which blows my mind that a student would even say
right.
this out loud,
right.
yeah, I was thinking about starting the paper this mm-hmm. weekend. You're going to start a 10-page
paper
no. the weekend no. before it's due,
right. right?
When I've been reminding you for 16 weeks, mm-hmm. 15 weeks. And it's the, and then they turn it in and it's not very good work and
right.
they get a grade that reflects that, because mm-hmm. obviously if it's a project that takes 16 weeks and you work on it for 3 days, it's not going to be mm-hmm. at the quality that is expected.
Right.
They get a poor grade and then they come in and want to,
right.
will argue and want to challenge the grade and want to petition to have the grade changed.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta be accountable. We have to be... take responsibility,
right.
and by taking responsibility, it prepares us for the for those challenges and for those expectations that we encounter as adults.
That's right, because we all say we want our children to be independent,
right.
self-reliant, self-sufficient, how to balance a checkbook,
mm-hmm.
how to take responsibility. Well, you have to begin this.
Right.
You can't expect that to be the end result
mm-hmm.
when you have rescued them at each step
right.
along the way,
right.
when you have been the problem solver. You
right.
have to give them opportunities to learn how to be self-sufficient, self-reliant, independent.
Right.
It's not going to happen automatically.
Right.
If they're used to relying on you. I mean, yeah. I've asked high school students, I'll say, well, when is this due? Or when is your, what nights, when is the tournament? And they say, I don't know, my mom knows.
Yeah.
Your mom, you're in high school.
Right.
And you don't know when your tournament is.
Yeah. Yeah. The reality is, the reality that some parents need to hear is that, you know, your 16-year-old, you don't want your 16-year-old to go out, you don't trust them, or you don't trust other people, or whatever the case may be, to go out with their friends, or to go out unsupervised, or to go out on dates. Understand that in 2 years, if they follow the path that you hope for them, they're going to be at a college without your supervision.
Right.
If they don't know now how to come in at a decent time, if they don't know now how to behave appropriately and without the supervision of a parent or somebody, when are they going to learn it?
Right. You have a 2-year window now. If she is 16, you have a 2-year window to get her ready. You're going to drop her into a group of somewhere between 5,000 and 50,000 people her age.
Right.
Because that's what college campuses are. And she's going to be completely on her own.
Yeah. And you know, the thing that I get too is dating. No, my 16-year-old, she is not allowed to date. Okay. Right. So again, how is she going to learn how to manage relationships?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because in 2 years, again, she's going to be
on her own
in a big pool of people who want to date and do things that dating people do.
Right.
And is she going to be prepared?
Right. That's right.
Is she going to be ready for that? But if you don't give her the opportunity to get prepared for that, she's going to struggle. She's going to have a hard time.
That's right. We can't just say no to a situation. We have to give them the opportunity to learn how to do this.
Right.
If they're going to experiment with drugs and alcohol, far better that they do that when they're with you than they wait until they're 18 or 19 years old and you're not there to pick up the pieces.
Exactly.
Okay? So let them learn this while they have you around.
Right.
While you're close by and you can monitor it.
Right. Because all of those experiences prepare them for that next step, for what comes next.
That's right. They have to be ready to be completely independent at 18. When they have to be ready to go on their own at age 18.
Right.
That's our obligation as parents, not to rescue, not to save, not to solve their problems. Because what our obligation is to give them the opportunity to learn how to do this. We already know how. Our parents gave us the opportunity. Now we have to give our children the opportunity to learn how to become independent and self-sufficient.
Right. And this goes, and the way that this relates, especially to millennials, is the fact that, you know, it's with millennials that we see this huge phenomena of failure to launch, where they're not prepared to leave home. They're just they stay home because they're not ready to go.
That's right. It was a false expectation. Yeah. It was a false preparation.
Mm-hmm.
We really are not preparing them, and then we blame them for not being prepared.
Exactly.
You're not prepared. Well, they're not prepared because nobody gave them the opportunity.
Right. So, all right.
Give them the opportunity.
Absolutely. That's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow for another portion of this topic on millennials. If you have any questions or thoughts or comments or suggestions, write to us, let us know. You can get to us on iTunes, on Twitter, on lots of different media outlets.
And again, as a reminder, if you are a millennial, we would really love to hear from you what your experiences have been, what we might do better to get you ready. So if you are a millennial, boy, I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let us know.
So, all right. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Bye-bye.